Good afternoon, and welcome to this episode of the Full Press NFL podcast. We're about a few hours shy or away from the Chiefs winning yet another Super Bowl with a thrilling overtime victory versus the San Francisco 49ers. Terrence Biggs with me is the managing editor of FPC Chiefs, also the social media manager for all things Full Press coverage, Braden Hollicek. Braden, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Terrence. It's a great Monday. Obviously, it's always tough to see the season end, but I think for the most part, a pretty entertaining Super Bowl. It was kind of slow at first, not a lot of points, but really it was a good back and forth game. So even if I wasn't a Chiefs guy, I think for the most part, I think people had to be pretty satisfied with the entertainment aspect.
We'll start with the Chiefs side of it because I have a lot to say about the Niners and I'm gonna try and collect myself. So first question to you about the Chiefs. When you look at this game, is this the most satisfying Chiefs Super Bowl that you've seen?
I think so, just because I think I guess it's not too dissimilar to a lot of the playoff wins we've seen the last couple of years, but I think just seeing them kind of win with complimentary football again, like they kind of did late in the season and in the playoffs. I think you look at the defense, another game where they're able to allow less than 24 or 25 points. I can't remember what the number of games was now that they've done that this season, but having a defense like this that's mostly young and kind of the ways they were able to make stops when they needed to, and then obviously once again the offense just seems to execute in the bigger moments better than any team. And I think when they absolutely needed to be the best in those gotta have it moments, you saw just the calmness and confidence of Patrick Mahomes, but also kind of the different cast of weapons, each getting a chance to kind of do some magic. So I think I would have to say yes, just because it was another comeback, but a win, I think, where everybody kind of got a piece of the pie in that complimentary football sense.
When you look at Patrick Mahomes, of all of the games you have watched him play as a Chief, and I'm guessing, actually, I know you watch all of them. Where does this performance rank?
Wow, yeah, that's a good one. It's tough, I guess, non-Super Bowls to really I guess say where I would rank some wins. I think that wild divisional round game against the Bills, back and forth, and obviously the overtime win there is one that stands out. I think Super Bowl wise, I would say this one's probably, if not the best, I think the second best one. I think there was parts of the game late against the Eagles where he was just flawless. But I think this one, it's still right up there, just because I think what he was able to do in the big moments. You see his decision making and his legs, once again kind of take over in this game late. But also, I think he was like 8 of 8 combined passing. I think it was on the game winning drive, and then just the fourth quarter when they had to have it. Under 2 minutes to go, down by three. It just kind of looked like he was right where he wanted to be, and there's just very few guys that get comfortable in those moments with the game on the line. So I think it's right up there. I don't know if I'd say it's the best, but it's really close.
Has Mahomes, in your opinion, worked his way into the top five all time as far as NFL quarterbacks?
Yeah, sorry about the delay there. Yeah, I think so. I think it's I think it's just people, I think, kind of look at things and think it's so easy to win. But I think some of the playoff runs that this team has gone on over the years with Mahomes, I think they've had to play some different styles. We talked about the complementary aspect already this season. You look at some of the explosiveness that isn't really there anymore, like it was early in his career around him with the weapons. So I think he's definitely in the top five. I obviously am not old enough to really remember any of Joe Montana's career, but I gotta think he's still up there near the top, just with how he performed in the playoffs and in the Super Bowls. Tom Brady's obviously the greatest ever, but I think if Mahomes is not top three, I would put him probably about 4 or 5 for sure.
When I look at the rushing offense, I noticed that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was such a vital part of previous Chiefs success, only got one carry. Were you surprised to see such the transformation over the last couple of years of Isaiah Pacheco going from late round roster fodder potentially to starting pick who actually supplants CEH?
I don't think so. I think with I think the first thing a lot of people noticed maybe last year during his rookie season in training camp and even in the preseason games, I know it's tricky to kind of know what's real, what's not in the preseason, but I think you could tell right away that Pacheco looked the part. I think he just understood the offense exceptionally well and what his role was. And I think a lot of people, when they look at the Chiefs and they think of what the Andy Reid offenses, I think they always want the running back to be kind of the speed demon that's going to run away from everyone in the open field. But I think just the play style and the way that he runs, the physicality, and obviously being able to find those extra hidden yards against contact, I think that's a perfect kind of runner for this offense, and just what really kind of offsets some of the other weapons. So I don't think it's too surprising, and it was just kind of, I guess, remarkable how quickly he kind of looked the part last year in training camp.
Do you think that the injury to Drake Greenlaw, which was just one of the most fluke things we ever see, opened a door for Travis Kelce to finally kind of get open and wake up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, first off, that was a brutal injury to see, just super unfortunate, especially because of what it could mean for start of next season. But yeah, with Kelce, I think you look at kind of the areas of the field that the Chiefs were attacking, kind of that outside part on the right side. I believe they kind of went at Charvarius Ward and his side a lot more at the end there too. So I do think that was a big part of it for sure.
Speaking of staying with the Chiefs receivers, you had a guy in Mecole Hardman who comes back to the Chiefs after a sojourn, I think, with the Jets, and kind of out in the world, he kind of comes back home. Of all of the people that won a ring last night, where does Mecole Hardman rank as far as just a good story for the Chiefs fans? A guy who thought he could do better without, came back and won again.
Yeah, I think it's right up there just because he was kind of, I think, expected to maybe not be wide receiver one level, but have kind of this instant production coming in as a rookie and kind of as this complimentary receiver back in 2019. And I think a lot of people thought he could lock down a more consistent role in the passing attack, and you've seen ball security kind of be an issue at times, but I think in this game, especially on that game when he played, he was just at his best, knowing kind of what his role was and not really trying to do too much. So yeah, I think it's right up there for Mecole Hardman, obviously. Just the fact that he's been in the playoffs, actually used in some big moments like that, and for the most part has been able to come through. But yeah, for him, there's never going to be probably a moment bigger than that one.
When MVS took the pass and decided to trace backward down the field, what was your level of anxiety?
Yeah, I thought I was kind of worried he might lose the football at first. So I was hoping he was just maybe gonna go down right away. But then even on the replay, I didn't realize it maybe initially, but he was already kind of running backwards. It looked like right after he caught the ball. So yeah, definitely not one of my favorite plays of the Super Bowl. It was interesting they went right back to him on the next one though. So Hardman, of all people, for him to have a touchdown earlier in that game too, it was definitely maybe not high on my bingo card.
Now, in the week previous, we discussed there were questions about how the Chiefs' offensive line would hold up. You had Tooney, who was out. And when you look at just thinking about the way the offensive line played, yes, there were, I want to say there were 3 sacks last night and only 7 quarterback hits. When you looked at the way the team up front played, did that surprise you that facing such a strong front four and a strong front seven that they were able to pretty much contain the Niners for the most part? You had Chase Young with early sack, but then he does Chase Young things and disappears.
Yeah, I think I was probably mostly impressed with Juwan Taylor. I thought of the two offensive tackles that faced question marks throughout the year. I thought he probably played a better game than Donovan Smith. So I think on that right side, maybe wasn't 100% perfect, but I think having to face Nick Bosa as much as he did, I thought he did a pretty good job. I thought Donovan Smith was a little bit out of his element at times. I think just got displaced pretty easily. There was one time he got knocked off his feet. So it was kind of some mixed, I guess, reviews, I would say, for the Chiefs offensive line. But I think for Juwan Taylor, that was maybe the most impressive, just because I think you kind of expect the consistency from Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And Taylor just, I think he's gotten more comfortable in the playbook and just kind of the technique he needs to have in this offense. I think he's starting to get a lot more comfortable at the right time.
Does this provide the Chiefs with a little bit of financial flexibility, knowing that they can possibly shuttle some of the higher priced talent off because their backers can step in to perform admirably on the big stage?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the defensive free agents. I think obviously Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, they're going to work hard to try to get them back. But I think you look at some of even the under the radar players like a Drew Tranquil, Willie Gay at linebacker, even Mike Edwards. I think there's going to be some flexibility to where they're maybe not always going to be shopping at the big fish part of things in free agency, but I think there's going to be some valuable chances they can maybe make in that second or third wave of free agency this year.
Speaking of that defense, I want to talk about Leo Chanel, where we kind of spotlighted Leo, where we thought it could be an underrated guy that could possibly come up big, and he came up monstrous. He came up huge for a guy that only had taken 41% of the defensive snaps this year. He stayed ready, and he didn't have to get ready. What did you see about Chanel that kind of led you to believe that he will probably be fighting for a starting job next year?
Yeah, I think one thing that definitely improved, I think, in the playoffs compared to what we saw in the regular season, there was a lot of times where he was getting bullied a little bit in the pass game and in kind of that second level and out in space. I think one thing he did really good in this Super Bowl was just kind of adjust and maintain his leverage in space. I think there was a couple of play action plays the 49ers kind of tried to slide to the left and Purdy would come back to his right side. And I thought Chanel did a pretty good job of just being a little bit more aware in space. And I think that that coverage ability is something that there's still some untapped potential there. I think you can count on him when you need to maybe provide an extra blitz or be kind of somebody that can always defend the run. But I think just that improvement against the pass in the playoffs and especially in this game, I think is definitely going to give him a boost going into 2024.
Chris Jones seemed exceptionally emotional last night, especially during the beginning. Do you think that in his mind he believed that this is his final game as a Chief?
I think maybe not believed it. I guess it feels like he's kind of always wanted to be a Chief for his entire career. So I think he was more focused just the way he talked throughout the week on just winning a back-to-back Super Bowl titles and his third one. I don't know if he really was thinking too much about the future, and maybe that's just the naive nature that I have sometimes with him. But I think he just the way he talked throughout the week and kind of the way he presented himself. I don't know if he was thinking about the future as much.
You mentioned Drew Tranquil. You mentioned guys like Mike Danner and Jalen Watson, Sneed. That secondary gets very little as far as acclaim or kudos. Was there a point in the game last night that you knew that the secondary had things under control?
Yeah, I think that that first pass break of that Trent McDuffie had in the end zone, kind of a longer throw. I believe it was on a third down, maybe just before Moody hit that 55-yard field goal. I think there's a couple plays McDuffie I thought was going to intercept it. There was another play later on that Debo Samuel kind of had to play defense and knock it away from him. So I think for the most part they kind of took away the top passing options, and I think combined Ayuk, Samuel, George Kittle, I believe, when targeting them, I think Purdy only completed about 30% of his passes. So I think they just did a good job of taking away those top weapons. And it just seemed like when Kyle Shanahan, which I know we're going to talk about a lot here in a little bit, I think just how much he came out throwing and trying to challenge those guys to start the second half. I think that just put those guys where they wanted to be in their element and able to make a lot of plays on the football.
When we look at this Chiefs team and this victory, and as far as Andy Reid, you have a Chiefs team that before Andy Reid got there, they had everything happen with Jovan Belcher and the tragedy that was, and how Reid was able to immediately change the entire culture, not just a franchise, but of a fan base. How much do people not outside of Kansas City not really understand the profound effect that Andy Reid has had on the organization?
Yeah, I think one thing I always kind of like is I don't think Andy Reid's ever too high or too low, and I think that's something the players talk about a little bit. It's just I think he's kind of a master motivator of just knowing how to get his guys going, but also I think sometimes people don't really I think pay attention to some coaches that don't have a lot to say in the media, but I'm always kind of somebody that I guess press conferences to me, I just don't think there's a lot you can take away from them. So I and maybe that's just listening to Andy Reid so much, but I kind of like him and guys like Bill Belichick that don't give too much away, whether it's just with their words or you see the play calls on offense that Kansas City saves. So I think it's just him, kind of being steady and realizing like when it's the right time to adjust. I think if the Chiefs didn't have that Christmas Day loss to the Raiders this year, I don't even think they're maybe able to get to the Super Bowl. I think that kind of put them in their place that they really needed to be in that time. And Reed was honest to kind of just realize what kind of team they had this year, how they needed to play games in a certain style. So I think it's him just knowing and having a feel for kind of really when to adjust things and turn it up a notch.
You're welcome. There you go. See, Las Vegas, I made it happen for the Chiefs to win. I will eagerly look at the mailbox and await our rings. But seriously, when we come back from break, this is not going to be fun, but it's going to be needed. We're going to delve directly into the mess that was the San Francisco 49ers as far as from a coaching standpoint. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the Full Press NFL Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL Podcast. Terrence Biggs, Brandon Hollichuk. Brandon, first question foremost, after that performance last night, if you're a John Lynch, do you fire Kyle Shanahan?
I don't know if they would do it right now, but I do think there's kind of a growing sense that I think with how much control that Kyle Shanahan's been given before, during this run, I think there's a growing sense that it's kind of going to be a make or break kind of situation for Shanahan. So I definitely think it's getting closer to that point. I think a lot of people were kind of wowed just with the I guess the smarts and the perceived brain of Kyle Shanahan, which is still really, really innovative and still deserves some credit. But I think just the way that John Lynch has still been able to kind of speak to that team in certain moments and kind of point them in the right direction, I don't think a lot of people realize that compared to maybe what Kyle's doing with the offensive scheme and all that. So I think we're getting closer to maybe a make or break point for Kyle Shanahan.
You have a coach in Shanahan. This is his third Super Bowl loss when his team has had a 10-point or more lead, and he just decides to pack up the running game to the point, for example, the entire third quarter, Christian McCaffrey didn't run the ball once. And what kills me is this: the Chiefs' first possession, throw a pick. first threw a pick, then it was pass after pass after pass. And with that offense, that inept play calling pretty much gave the Chiefs all the time in the world they need to come back. And not just to come back, but take the lead to a man in that locker room. If you are a Niners player, are you looking at Kyle Shanahan sideways? And even though they might not say it out loud, do you think some of those players want him gone?
I think there's definitely a sense sometimes of I don't think it's directly like this for all the players, but I think there's some players that lose a little bit of confidence just because I think seeing how Kyle Shanahan acts on the sideline, I think there's some arrogance there. I think there's a little bit of nervousness there that I don't think they necessarily know how to respond or how to adjust sometimes. I think there was still some execution errors that I would put on certain players that you expect to make plays. But yeah, I think there's a nervousness. I think there's a overthinking aspect sometimes with Kyle Shanahan that I think as a player it would be really hard to really know what to expect at certain points. And yeah, I just think I think in certain moments, like you said, they came out throwing there after that interception. I think Purdy can't remember the exact numbers, but I think the 10 or 11 of the first 12 plays the Niners had in the second half were throws. I just think he overthinks things so much, and just seemed like took the ball out of his best player's hands too often. And in Christian McCaffrey, I was kind of surprised over time there, just how they used him. And you know, I think that third down play where Chris Jones was able to kind of provide pressure, I thought they might try to run there, keep the ball in the best player's hands in McCaffrey, and even if you have to go for it on fourth down. Maybe in a little bit better position after running it. So yeah, I don't know what you thought about you know, the end of the half, both first half and second half, but also overtime. But it just thinks just seems like it's consistently overthinking things in those moments.
It was, like you said, it was arrogance. The pass from Jennings to McCaffrey was actually one of the best and worst things that happened to the Niners. Best because it scored a touchdown. Worst is because that justified in Kyle Shanahan's mind what they were about to do, which is go and deviate completely away from their best offensive player, maybe their best player on the team. And they decided to throw and throw and throw, which leads just directly into what the Chiefs want to do. The Chiefs weren't an awful team versus the run, but they were much better against the pass. And the Niners were having success with running the football. Even if they thought McCaffrey was tight, you got Elijah Mitchell. I'm not saying he's the same, but he could have got a couple of 3, 4 yard carries, kind of keep it moving. And Shanahan decided to show the world that he was the smartest kid in class. Once again, and it came back to bite him once again. And I'll be honest, if I'm a Niners player, especially a veteran, I'm looking at him sideways for a couple of things. It is important to have the team's best interest. Kyle Shanahan had Kyle Shanahan's best interest in that game. He wanted to get his offense the way he saw fit, despite down distance and circumstance. Now, going into this game, people had a lot of doubts about Brock Purdy. Did Purdy solve or kind of calm those fears and kind of answer all those questions?
I would answer yes and no. I think I would say no, just because I think long term, I think there's still going to be a question about what the future really is for this team. At that position, I would say yes, just because I think I was impressed with some of the ways he was able to kind of adjust and extend plays when there was some pressure. There was a lot of times I thought the Chiefs were going to be able to make a hit on him before he got the ball released. So I think there was I think he answered some questions just about how he faced pressure and was able to kind of make some quicker throws and adjust on the field. But I think the long-term question is just still going to be something that I think 49ers at quarterback, it's just going to be kind of I think a yearly narrative at this point that this team's just going to have to continue to deal with.
Moving on to the receivers, I'm going to be honest. This is what I saw, and I'm sure that when I look at the All 22, it's going to kind of solidify what I saw. Deebo Samuel is an excellent football player, but he is an awful route runner. It just his routes are rounded, they're sloppy, they lack the ability to break in, break out of them with any type of precision. Do you think that because he can provide such a versatile weapon in the offense that he's been allowed to slack?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this on one of the episodes last week, and I think there's a lot of people, maybe not a lot, but there's some people coming around to it now that I think are really starting to realize how much better of a true wide receiver Brandon Ayuk is, and he's the best wide receiver on this team. Like you said, the versatility and I think the uniqueness of Debo is fun in certain moments, but I think we're reaching a point where his kind of, to me, personally, his status and his stock is a little bit overrated. I think there's just been too many moments in some big games in the playoffs where teams are just able to kind of take him away. And like you said, with his routes, I mean, there's not a lot special about it. And maybe this is partly the offensive system with Shanahan, but there's just so many kind of slants and in-breaking routes that I think is just so predictable, especially with how the continuous struggles he's had, I think kind of perfecting those. So I think defenses are usually pretty aware of what he's able to provide, and unless the eye candy kind of draws you somewhere else, he's usually going to be, I think, bottled up.
Just from a technique standpoint, too, where getting off the line with the release, if the corner has inside shade, like you said, on those slants, Samuel will try to fight that leverage by driving inside first. Everyone knows that if your opponent has inside shade, the smartest move, sell that out or sell that fade, get the corner to open the gate, flash back inside. He refuses to do the little things where he thinks that his athletic ability is going to carry him and it hurts the offense. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners went out and drafted a wide receiver. And I know that Samuel will sign for the next couple of years, but the next couple of years that dead cap number drops, it might be time to go somewhere else because it is. They don't have a true number one. Like you said, Ayuk is a very good receiver. He's a number two. Kittle, they had Kittle locked up pretty much the entire evening, and they never had a consistent threat outside of Jennings and McCaffrey. Now, moving to that Niners defense, we talked about Chase Young last week, and we said that this was his chance. I even wrote an article, but the next 60 minutes, Chase Young flashed. Once had one good play, but time and time again, you see him loafing to the ball. If you are an NFL GM, if you could get Chase Young even at a budget, would you want him on your team?
I don't think so. I think there's just been so many opportunities at this point, and I know dealt with some injuries as well, which partly out of his control, but I just think there's been so many opportunities in situations where he's been given spots to try to produce and really improve, and it's just been kind of I guess a flat line sort of career. It's been a steady, just kind of very average play at defensive end. So I think he's someone I would have buyers beware over for sure.
And I look at they've poured a lot of money into that front four. I really think it's time for them to kind of retool it where they don't have a secondary rusher on the other side to do anything. And it hurts them because the Chiefs respond to realize that, okay, we can run just directly at Chase Young. He's not going to get there. Granted, the loss of Dre Greenlaw does hurt, but also that secondary was bad. It was terrible. People want to sit there and say the loss of Halonga, the safety, was a no. They were bad to start with. If you're San Francisco on this defense, what do you replace and what do you add?
I think you look at the cornerback spot opposite of Charvarius Ward, and I don't think Ward was perfect in this game, obviously, but I think he's kind of obviously earned continued chance to be the starter on one side. But I look at cornerback and I do look at defensive end. Outside of Bosa, I just think there's a lot of times where it just seems like these guys get kind of lost in no man's land, whether that's against the pass for a cornerback, or even in a pass rush, kind of in between, getting home and just being stuck on an island and pushed out of the picture. So I think those are two spots that I would look at for sure, is cornerback opposite of Ward, pass rusher opposite of Bosa, and I think there's just kind of a lack of, I think, speed and I think just true athleticism or physicality in either of those spots right now.
I agree wholeheartedly. And since we're on this defense, watching Steve Wilks continue to play such soft, lagging coverage versus the Chiefs, who were more than happy to, nickel and dime down the field, get in field goal position. What do you think, it was a matter of fear with Wilks that he didn't want to have his players get beat over the top? Or was it just complete botching of a defensive game plan?
I think it's maybe more of a botching of the defensive game plan. I think you look at kind of the overtime, some of these plays. It was just kind of crazy how, you could see kind of where the Chiefs were going to attack just because of, having more receivers on that side of the field, whether it was the game-winning play to Hardman or even kind of a short screen to Pacheco or Kelce, the crossing route to Rice. It just seemed like there was so many plays where they just didn't, I think, get guys in position and match up well, and I think they were, like you said, just trying to prevent those deep plays and then being a little too passive.
Do you buy into the notion that a coordinator who has aspirations of a head coach, that how his unit performs in bad in big games should kind of color a prospective employer? Or do you think that you gotta take it by a case by case basis?
Yeah, I think I would probably take it by a case by case basis. I think the hard thing for Wilkes is I think this is maybe a little bit of a roster kind of going back to the Chase Young and even the corner spot opposite of Ward with Ambry Thomas. I think there's just kind of a lack of resources in certain spots that really kind of prevented him from maybe playing as aggressive as he wanted to in certain games this year. And I think there was a lot of points in the two playoff games against Green Bay and Detroit where they had to go single high safety just because of how much they were getting slashed against the run, and it still wasn't working. So I think it's a little bit of a case by case basis for me.
With the NFL season drawing to a close and just looking at the Chiefs' future, especially in the AFC West, with the coaches coming in, do you believe this is the most competitive AFC West that Patrick Mahomes will see?
I think so. Yeah, I just think because, like you said, with the coaching, I think you can build the roster that you think is maybe the best on paper. But I just think coaching is one of those things that we talked about it with Andy Reid earlier. The culture, I think, is the biggest thing that you have to establish. And I think you look at where the Chargers have been, and now bringing in Jim Harbaugh, and then you look at the Broncos still trying to kind of piece together the team they want and what they really believe in Denver. I think there's I think there's going to be a lot of I think honest moves that are going to have to be made by both teams. So I think the coaching aspect is big, and I also think you kind of look at you look at the rosters. I think these teams are only going to come continue to get younger and get better. So there's going to be guys that are going to be even more hungry, that are put in a new position to kind of challenge Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I would have to agree with that. I think it'll be the most challenging, and I think you look at just the division, different play styles that these teams could have. I think it's just going to be a different test, kind of division game to division game.
With that, what do you think the thought of the Chiefs finish, I want to say 11-6, that the days of the 12 and 13 win Chiefs, especially because of the improved division, are kind of over?
Yeah, I think it's I guess I wouldn't say it'd be completely over, but I do think it's gonna be challenging just because of the I guess for Kansas City's perspective, the kind of pressure to hit on these kind of under the radar moves, whether it's kind of the budget moves in free agency, or kind of hitting on these draft picks that they have already in some lower spots in the order. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge, is kind of continuing to replenish those spots that are not going to be the highest paid on the team, but I think it's going to be those spots that you're going to need to kind of complete and do the dirty work. So I think that's the biggest challenge. I think as far as the wins go, I think it kind of just depends maybe a little bit on the opponents for each season. Next year every team's going to have the AFC North entirely, so that'll be a tough test. So I think some of it's the schedule, but also just hitting on those kind of complementary pieces for sure.
Now, speaking of an AFC rival, look at the Las Vegas Raiders. They have the coach they want. They have a sound defense. If you're the Raiders, do you somehow cobble together a trade to trade into the top five and get a quarterback? Or do you stay at 13, kind of take your chances with a JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix Jr.? Or do you draft, or let me ask you this, do you send Davante Adams out of town for another first round draft pick? Which one of those three would you do if you're Vegas?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I would probably try to stay at 13 and maybe take your chances with McCarthy and Penix. I think I guess if you try to trade in the top five, I think you're gonna have to probably get in the top three to have a shot at some of the upper echelon guys in this class. So I think I would take my chance and maybe just try to build around those guys that you're maybe gonna have to be a little bit more balanced. So I think it'd be personally tough to move on from Adams right now. Even though it could net another first round pick, I think he's just been so big for that locker room. So I'd probably go try to stay at 13 and see what you can get out of those maybe second tier options in the draft.
If you had a choice between Penix and McCarthy, if you're Vegas, which one would you draft and why?
Yeah, I think I would go with Penix just because I think he gives you the most I think most consistent chance to kind of challenge teams offensively and continue to put points on the board. I think with McCarthy you're going to be kind of limited to I think having to play a grinded out style a little bit more consistently every week. So I would go with Penix just because I think there's a lot more versatility and I think fluidity that's still kind of untapped with his game and his potential.
What's coming up on FPC Chiefs other than a whole lot of celebration and a long parade?
Yeah, it's gonna be a couple other reaction articles. I kind of had a initial one today on Monday, just kind of looking at the big moments in the game late by the Chiefs and them continuing to execute in those spots and another Super Bowl deficit that they had to overcome. So yeah, just going to be kind of going back into the tape and rewatching some stuff for upcoming reaction articles. And then yeah, once the Super Bowl parade happens on Wednesday, going to be kind of writing about the highlights and parts from that probably come out on Thursday. So it's a couple just going to go back and look at some maybe top moments still to react from the Super Bowl and then some parade coverage as well. Hopefully next week we'll kind of get into more off-season questions and topics.
Looking back, one of your earliest articles was about Derek Nnadi and Bo Allen, the defensive tackles. Is it wild to see Derek Nnadi? I think he's still there, right?
Yeah, he was injured the last couple playoff games, so he was not in the Super Bowl, but he was still there earlier in the season.
How can people interact with you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter or X at Braden Holacek9, BradenHolecek, and the number 9. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs, at Full Press NFL as well. Super Bowl in the books, like we mentioned, offseason content's going to be kind of pouring out there consistently, whether it's free agency topics or draft stuff. So we'll have a lot there on Twitter, and obviously we're going to be diving into some of those topics on this podcast as well coming up.
You can follow me at TBigs at Bigs Tequila. or actually said Tequila Biggs, and you can read all of our stuff at fullpresscoverage.com. This has been another sterling episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.